Welcome to Washington in Focus. I'm your host, Brett Davis, the Center Square's Washington State editor. Joining me today is Randy Brock, reporter for the Center Square. So Tuesday was Election Day in Washington State. It was termed an odd year election. What does that mean, Randy? Was it really odd?
Well, in some aspects it was, but you could probably say that about any election. But odd year or off year elections are primarily focused on local races and local issues. There weren't any statewide contests or measures on the ballot. But according to the Secretary of State's office, there were nearly 3,100 different local elective positions open across the state. That included over 1,000 city positions, nearly 900 school board posts, and hundreds of other seats on local districts, fire commissions, hospital districts, ports, that type of thing. Also, depending on your location, voters were asked to consider 128 different ballot propositions like levy or bond measures. So all these things affect citizens at the grassroots Main Street level. And still, despite that, the turnout's been kind of dismal. Only 1 in 3 registered voters have bothered to cast their ballots.
That's a bit disappointing. But anyway, your reporting primarily focused on Spokane County and the city of Spokane, correct?
That's right. But maybe stepping back just a moment to this odd year observation, there was an odd, troubling report yesterday. The Secretary of State's office issued a statement after the elections offices in 4 of the state's largest counties, King, Pierce, Spokane, and Skagit, all received envelopes containing some unknown powder while the workers were processing the ballots. As a precaution, the offices were closed and the police were called to respond. And in Spokane, police said the powder that they found tested positive for fentanyl, which is a potentially deadly synthetic opioid. And Seattle Times, rather, reported that fentanyl was found in the envelope in King County, too. So
kind of reminds me when the envelopes of powder were mailed out after 9/11, all those decades ago.
Right. Yeah. And Secretary of State Steve Hobbs, he's obviously denounced this as an act of terrorism, rightfully worries about the safety of election workers, the effect on election integrity. And he noted, kind of backing up to the April or the August 1 primary, there were 2 suspicious envelopes that were sent out. One in King County also tested for fentanyl. So that's under investigation by state federal authorities, and that's kind of in the news right now.
Yes, that makes the election a little more exciting than it would have otherwise been. But anyway, right. So this presumably halted ballot updates in those 4 counties, at least for Wednesday. What effect does that have?
Well, it's in Spokane, it certainly delayed the count for maybe the highest profile elective race. And that's the one between incumbent Mayor Nadine Woodward and her challenger, Lisa Brown. Brown's a former state Democratic legislator and a state commerce director. She's trying to unseat Woodward, who's a longtime local broadcast journalist. She's completing her first 4-year term in office. Preliminary returns Tuesday, Brown was leading by less than 1,600 votes out of 45,000 ballots cast. There's still thousands more remaining to be counted. So it's a close race. Brown was cautiously optimistic Tuesday night. Woodward was not conceding.
All right. So is this a partisan contest?
No. Technically, all these local races are nonpartisan, but the Spokane mayor's race definitely has a partisan kind of political vibe to it. Brown is a longtime Democrat. In 2018, she lost a bid for Congress against the 5th district incumbent, Kathy McMorris Rogers, who is a Republican. And some of Rogers' staff and former staff are active in supporting Woodward's mayoral campaign. So during this campaign, Woodward was supported by local and state Republicans, realtors, business owners, conservative outlet. Brown got support from Democrats, organized labor unions, that type of thing. Like I say, definitely a partisan vibe to all this, depending on who your supporters were and stuff. The State Public Disclosure Commission also said each one of these candidates received over $500,000 for their campaign. So this is over $1 million spent on a mayor's race in Washington, the second largest city. So a lot of money spent taking pot shots at one another, and that definitely sounds partisan.
So what can you tell us about the Spokane City Council?
Well, again, there's a race for the council president. That's between current council member Betsy Wilkerson, who is a Lisa Brown supporter, and a retired local business owner, Kim Pleas. She was endorsed by Woodward. Wilkerson's leading that race with 53% of the vote. There were also three council seats up for grabs, and you could describe two of those candidates as progressive: Paul Dillon, Kitty Klitzker, and both were leading their races Tuesday night.
So now Republicans, they have a strong presence in eastern Washington, and Spokane County has a reputation for being conservative. So are these races unusual, the preliminary results?
I think within Spokane city limits, there's a more liberal or progressive presence, which is probably true in many larger urban settings. So I don't know if it's unusual, but once you venture outside city limits, I think it definitely gets more conservative.
There were also two highly publicized ballot initiatives that Spokane voters considered. What can you tell us about those? How are they doing?
Across Spokane County itself, there was Measure 1, and that called for raising the countywide sales tax by 0.2%. And that would have, if it would have passed, but it's failing in a big way. I think over 65% of the voters were rejecting it. Had it passed, it would have imposed this tax for a 30-year period. It would have raised an estimated $1.7 billion for dedicated to criminal justice purposes. And that would have included with the county wanting to build a new jail, plus other public safety and behavioral services. And the revenue would have been shared by the county, which would have gotten 60%, and then 40% would have gone to cities and towns for those types of purposes. No one really disputes that the county needs a new jail. It's 40 years old. It's overcrowded. But there was a lot of debate over the price tag for all this and accountability, how the money was going to be spent. Interestingly, I think the measure was supported by three Republicans on the county commission, and it was opposed by the Democrats. And normally it's the Republicans who are against raising taxes and the Democrats who are for raising taxes. So this was a little bit of an inversion there.
Yeah, interesting. So within the city of Spokane, there was something called Proposition 1. What's that and how's it doing?
Proposition 1 was hugely popular with the voters. It's passing with over 75% support. It calls for amending Spokane's municipal code to prohibit homeless encampments within 1,000 feet of schools, public parks, playgrounds, childcare facilities, any place where kids might be congregating. The sponsors of the measure say it's intended to protect kids from potentially disruptive or dangerous behavior in these encampments. Opponents say it unfairly targets disadvantaged persons who aren't breaking any laws, because it would be a misdemeanor offense to be in violation of this. So it looks like the measure will pass. The big question is, there's a pending appellate court decision on whether this initiative is legal at the local level, and that opinion has not been issued yet. So it's conceivable this vote might be overturned, and so you got to stay tuned for that. It could be interesting.
All right. Well, thanks so much for that detailed wrap-up of the elections in Spokane and Spokane County, Randy. Nicely done. Listeners can keep up with this story and more at thecentersquare.com. For Randy Brock, this is Brett Davis. Please subscribe, and thanks for listening.